Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I do truly believe that this is the greatest time to be alive. I have great expectancy for God to turn our nation. What God has done in your life, what God has done in my life, that just needs to be replicated over and over and over again, and America will turn back to God. I do believe that we are also under judgment, but things can be turned. I said things can be turned around. It's not hopeless. It's filled with hope. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, one verse for now, and then we'll look at a second passage later on. 2 Chronicles 7, New King James on the screen. Are you ready? Say amen. Amen. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Gracious, awesome, almighty God, we stand before you this morning, thanking you for what you did in the first service and now what you'll do in the second. Mark us with a powerful visitation of your spirit. We pray that you would come with your finger and write upon the fleshly tablets of our heart. We're not here, God, for some lecture. We're here, God, for the living word of God that goes forth and does not return void. Let us be forever changed. I bind, gag, and muzzle every assignment that would try to bring a distraction. I take authority over that which would try to rob and steal and kill, and declare that today is a day of breakthrough. Today is a day of redemption. Today is a day of healing, a divine turnaround for America. I prophesy a divine turnaround in your life, a divine turnaround in this community, a divine turnaround for the state, a divine turnaround for our nation. God, thank you for divine remedy today. In Jesus' name, shout amen. Amen. You may be seated. Again, we do have notes. The divine remedy. I remember being fed Epicac, having swallowed some poison. Anybody know what Epicac is? In Leviticus chapter 18, it talks about the land vomiting out its inhabitants. In Leviticus 18, and it's a warning to Israel. And those warnings are still true today for America and for every nation. The very things that the Canaanites did, the tribes and the nations of Canaan did, were the very things that caused them to be vomited out of the land. Throughout history, the United States of America has dealt with various challenges. I'm writing the notes now. Dealt with various challenges, problems, and trials. And really, no matter how you want to glorify, and I'm a patriot through and through, but no matter how you want to glorify the past, it's mixed with a lot of challenges and racism and difficulty. The Civil War was a horrible war that Abraham Lincoln said was God's judgment. He felt that the Civil War was God's judgment on America for slavery. Even though Civil War was more than about slavery, it was about money, mammon. And throughout our history, we have faced philosophical challenges like Nazism, communism. And by the grace of God, we've been able to overcome those things, even though the seeds of them are still festering like a boil in our nation today. Theological challenges like universalism and what I would call neo-Calvinism. Dead Pharisaical churches. There's a lot of churches that are dead. This is not one. Now, I'm not claiming to have laid hold of everything, but forgetting that which lies behind, we press on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We might be at a Nazareth level, but I'm so glad there's life. And I'm going to tell you how you know there's life in a church. You see old people, you see young people. You see children, you see youth. You see red, yellow, black, and white. You see it growing. You see people getting saved. You see people getting healed. You see people getting delivered. You see God giving land. You see territory being turned over. That was what you see here. And it's not just here. You see it in other places too. But if you don't see that, and if the word's not preached, and it's some 30-minute message or a 20-minute message out of the Encyclopedia Britannica, and it feels like a funeral service, run and go find a church that's on fire. Somebody said, I can't go to your church. It's just too extra. We are. We're not for everybody, and that's okay. That's why there's a body of Christ. We don't mandate that everybody should be like us. We're unusual. We stuck our finger in spiritually, 223 phase, got electrocuted. We've never been the same, spiritually speaking. I began to look at some of the denominations that have Ichabod over them, and so I'm going to shock you just for a moment, because you need to hear this. Even though there's many good people that are a part of some of these denominations, they have absolutely gone apostate. And it's in their theology, it's on their websites, it's everywhere. So this is a little offensive. And before I offend you, let me say that the Apostle Paul talked about people like Alexander, the metalsmith, who called me much harm. Stay away from me. He talked about Demas, who loved the world. He used names. Now, I'm not going to use names specifically, but I am going to name some of these denominations because they have absolutely embraced that which is completely demonic and is sweeping across the land, like the Lutheran Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the USA. It's in fact, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, ELCA. They have completely endorsed LGBTQ+. They're ordaining homosexuals into the ministry. They're apostate. So I'll just tell you, if you go to one of those churches, you want to leave. Did you just say that? Yes, I'm going to say something else too. The Episcopal Church is totally gone apostate. Now, it's not to say that everybody in the church is apostate, but at the very head. And what gets at the head will come down to the rest of the body. So it's clear that they're making clear statements. And there are some that are trying to break away, and some are. But I'm telling you, at the core of these denominations, the Presbyterian Church. Does that sting a little bit? It should. There needs to be a wake. You cannot continue. You won't be continuing in the way in Christ if you destroy biblical truth. You can't choose and select from Scripture what's right and wrong. Scripture is what theologians say are absolute truth. Got like four amens. Some of you are like, I still go to the Presbyterian Church. Well, Presbyterian Church USA is ordaining LGBTQ+ individuals. We don't hate people, no matter what bondage, no matter what demonization, no matter what false doctrine they're in. And if you say you shouldn't make distinctions, you're not reading your Bible, I guess. You need to make distinctions. We just need to be in unity. No, we don't. There are things that we can be unified over and things that very clearly cause a division. I will just tell you, I will never do a same-sex marriage, ever. I can't. I won't. We've set our church up so we won't be ensnared by that. You see, but that's what the government said. The government can pound sand. The government says you can't read your word anymore. You're going to still read it? I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. America needs healing. The Healing of America, brand new series. And this is the divine remedy. I remember hearing that Hitler came to power on one vote. How many of you have heard that? It's not true. I thought it was true, and I've even quoted it, but I dug in a little bit. But he did come to power on an election, even though there was all kinds of things and they were being framed. I'm telling you, listen closely to me. These next elections are important. You say, well, who are you endorsing? There's rules regarding the IRS of who you can endorse and who you can't, but I'll just tell you, I can't endorse someone who is in favorable of killing babies. Can't do it. Can't endorse anybody that's in favor of same-sex marriage. Can't do it. I can't be in favor of an endorsement of LGBTQ+. You know why they put the plus? Because they're going to add on other things like minor attracted people. They're starting. Did you hear what I just said? They're going to endorse pedophilia. There's so much corruption at the highest levels. Republicans are corrupt. Democrats are corrupt. The whole thing is corrupt, but God can heal America. Can someone say amen? Can someone say a better amen? God can heal America. And how he does it is by getting a hold of your heart, getting a hold of my heart, one family at a time, and a mighty wave of his power. God can do it. And I believe he is. Come on, put your hands together for that. Come on, he can do it. So this November, and if you're not registered to vote, we've positioned ourselves to be a voter registration center. And how are we doing on that? Are we close to getting that? Good. Good. We're almost there. So then we'll be, as the Lord directs and helps us. Thank you, Mayor. Then we'll open up and allow for registration. What, registering to vote in a church? Absolutely. Do you know in Korea, the way the church votes in Korea is what happens in Korea. They said that if the Christian voting bloc would come out across America and would vote scripturally, we'd take it by storm. That's how that is. He said, well, I'm gonna vote according to whether someone's black or white, or I'm gonna vote across these lines because that my father, my granddaddy, we all come from a long line. Quit it. Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party it used to be. And neither is the Republican Party. We need to vote the issues. If you're not registered to vote and you're a believer, change that and vote. Somebody said, well, it's all over by the time it comes to Alaska. No, just do it anyway before God. It's very, very important. And plus you have local elections, so on and so forth. So every election cycle is important. You know why? Because we have the power in this country. We have the power in this country to change the course of things. We have the power in this nation to vote and make a difference, so long as the voting is integrous. Let's move on. Look at the text, 2 Chronicles 7. The context of this is the dedication of the temple. It's told in a couple different places, but I've chosen this text because many years ago, prophetic people, intercessors chose 2 Chronicles 7:14, and so many people know it, and it's such a powerful remedy for a nation that's under judgment. The context is the dedication of the temple. Verses 1 through 10 is the evidence of God's power and blessing upon Israel. And I love verse 1, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. Interesting that they're giving offerings at that time, and sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. What did the glory of the Lord do? Filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. So understand, they're dedicating the temple. We had a dedication in our building. We dedicated it. John Hagee preached. Powerful. Won't ever forget it. Powerful. At the closing dedication of the temple, the first temple, David provided for it. Solomon built it. It was this incredible structure. And when they prayed and dedicated it, fire came down from heaven. So much so that the priests couldn't stand to minister, it says in Chronicles. What does that mean? That means whatever they're trying to do, they can't do it because they're lying. They're lying down. So if you're not standing, man, how are you? They're not standing. You see, they were kneeling. Okay, they're kneeling, but they're certainly not standing. Something happened where God's power came down. No longer are they able to do their priestly duties. So I'm doing a priestly duty right now. I'm preaching to you. Powerful word. Okay, if fire fell, I ain't preaching anymore. Because we're all wrecked. Has that happened? It has. Is that going to happen this morning? I don't know. I hope so. Jesus preaches way better than any of us, but yet, how will they know unless someone goes, unless someone speaks? The Lord appears to Solomon right back in your notes. The first appearance is when it occurred at Gibeon, and that's where God appears to him. You'll find that in 1 Kings 3. And God appears to him and he asks for what? Anybody know what he asked for? He asked for wisdom and discernment. And God says, because you asked for wisdom and discernment, I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to bless you. Oh, I'm going to rain it on you. Good choice. That's the first appearance. This is the second appearance. also found 2 Chronicles 7, 1 Kings 9, 2 Chronicles 7, the text we read. So God assured Solomon that he heard his prayer and he consecrated and blessed the temple. And then he warns him. He warns him. He gives him a warning about the consequences of turning away from God. And he gives this remedy for a nation under judgment. Are you saying that America's under judgment? Absolutely, at some measure, yes. Somebody said, we just need to call fire down and just judge America. Careful, you live here. And so he's giving this remedy for a nation. Of course, it's to Israel, but it applies to us also. If my people who were called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land. And as I said earlier, it's fascinating. This Leviticus 18 talks about the land vomiting out its inhabitants. The very reason that the inhabitants of Canaan's land were removed from the land is because of their wickedness. And if you think the Lord's just going to allow America to continue the way it is and not cause us to be vomited out from the land, you're mistaken. But I believe this. I believe that God is setting a people on fire. I believe that God is coming with glorious visitation and his power, and he's turning the hearts. If my people, are any of his people here? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways. You say, I'm not wicked. We're going to make sure that as we go along, you might find you have a little bit of wicked maybe in you. America can be turned back to God. I believe that's his will. I know it's his will that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. He doesn't want to fry everybody and send everybody to hell. He wants the outpouring. He wants his spirit to be poured out on all flesh. He wants us to turn from wickedness and be the answer, be the remedy, be the solution. Come on, you don't have to be bound. You don't have to be addicted. You don't have to be afflicted. You don't have to be divorced. You don't have to go through the trial and toil. There are trials. There is toil, but God can turn it for good even this morning. Can you say amen? 1 Corinthians, go there please. Verse 6, chapter 6, verse 9. This is our second passage, and it's fascinating to me that Paul writing the Corinthian church, and they have a bunch of problems. I've had over the years people say, you know, we really need to have a first century church. First century church had issues. They had racism. You see that in the book of Acts. This church had a lot of problems. They were prideful and they were deceived. We don't want to be that. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9 through 11 on the screen now, New King James. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So he's asking us a question. Do you not know that? And he says, don't be deceived. So let me just stop and say, the Presbyterian Church of America is deceived because they're endorsing that which is not righteous. You can't decide what you think is righteous and what is unrighteous. That's called sociological law. Our nation is being ruled by whosoever shouts the loudest. Our nation is being ruled by man as a measure of things. Our nation is being ruled. Laws are being made based on sociological law, which will lead us right to hell in a handbasket. So the church has got to rise up. Can you say amen? The word's got to be preached. And yeah, it's offensive. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Let me stop. Fornication is committing sexual sin outside of marriage. So if you're married, you can't fornicate. Because if you do that, it's not called fornication, it's called adultery. That's a big difference. Adultery, fornicators, idolaters. Adulterers, listen to this, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, New King James. There's two Greek words there. It's passive homosexuality and active homosexuality. Goes on to list, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Say, all those don't inherit the kingdom. In other words, if you practice that, then basically you'll have no entrance into heaven. I said practice. See, I'm stumbling with some of those things. Well, keep fighting and get over it. Get healed. Get delivered. Can you say amen? And I love this next verse as we've now wiped out a good portion of the church. You're like, and such were some of you. And such were, past tense, some of you. He's talking to them and said, oh, you used to be a homosexual, but you got set free. You used to be an idolater, but you got set free. You used to be a fornicator, but you got set free. You used to be a drug addict, but you've been set free. You've been washed by the blood. You've been sanctified. Come on, somebody say a better amen. I mean, my God, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we've been delivered. Come on, put your hands together and say, I'm delivered. And if you're not, stick around. And today could be the last day that you live in bondage and you live under the toil of that torment, whatever it may be. You can be set free today. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. The Corinthian church had many problems. So every church has challenges. Every church has problems. I'm glad we don't have those problems. We have other challenges. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. Their biggest problem was a problem of deception. And I would say in the denominations that I listed, and there's more, I didn't list all of them. I just listed a few. And I know years ago, I'm going to say maybe 15 years ago, we had someone in our church and their father was a Presbyterian pastor. And there was arguments over theology and their father took a stand and there was a splitting off of the Presbyterian church because a whole group of the Presbyterian church wanted to endorse homosexuality. How do you take that scripture? I mean, what do you do with that? Oh, they didn't understand how it is. People are born that way now. Prove it. Book for all of you students, Homosexuality and the Politics of Truth. And please hear me, we love people. We love people. I've seen people set free and delivered. We love people. No matter what bondage they're in, it is a demonic assignment to destroy people. You can't pick your own gender. You're born whatever you're born and that's it. Every cell in your body and the DNA at the DNA level declares you're a man or a woman. So the biggest problem they have is deception, and it's a big problem throughout the world. And our nation is under great deception, but like I said, there are those who are rising, going to preach, teach, declare it, live it, demonstrate it, that can turn our nation around. You know how the nation's going to turn around? You. You turn around. You turn your family around. You start voting. You start getting involved. You declare it. You proclaim it. You live it out loud, unashamedly. So deception was their biggest problem. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that the wicked, he really defines wicked. It's so much like our culture today. Just in case some of you have the mistaken idea that you can give your life to Christ and then live however you want to, let me help you. You can't. 1 John talks about that. You can't give your life to Jesus and then just do whatever you want to, live however you want to. Oh, he knows my heart. Oh, he knows my heart. Yeah, Jeremiah says your heart is black, deceitfully wicked above all else. You don't live according to your heart. You live according to the word. He said, well, I'm not convicted. I had somebody tell this to me. They were smoking weed, cannabis, addicted to cannabis. And they said, you know, I smoke weed. I smoke cannabis all the time. I get high. It just really helps me, really comforts me. I can go to sleep. And plus, it's legal. I'm not convicted. I said, you're not convicted. It's because your conscience is seared. If your convictions don't line up with the word of... Can I preach in here? If your convictions don't line up with the word of God, your convictions are messed up. So guess what? You need to change your convictions to line up with truth. Absolute truth. You say, I don't like what you're saying. I'm going to say a whole lot more, so just brace yourself. The Apostle Paul lists this behavior. So you can be deceived. So if you've given your life to Christ, but you continue in those ways that are listed there, and there are others, of course. Galatians talks about it, the works of the flesh. If you think you can give your life to Jesus, but then live like that and say that you're going to heaven, you're deceived. You can't separate your belief and what's righteous from what's wicked or wrong. When you meet Jesus, he changes you. The Apostle Paul lists evil behavior and makes it clear that we define ourselves by what we do. Say that. I define myself by what I do. Say it again. It's a little uncomfortable because you might have some things that are hollering at you right now and you're like, I don't want to define myself by that. Yeah, but that is what you believe. That's why you do it. I'm going over here. I'm not feeling the love down the center section. You define yourself by what you believe. So what you believe is what you do. So the way that you live, the fruit in your life, the way that you act, that is what you believe. You can say you believe something else, but if your behavior doesn't line up with the lip service that you're giving God, then that's actually not true. You know the way someone believes by the way that they live. You know that prayer is important to someone when they pray. If you don't have a prayer life, don't tell me prayer is important to you. Prayer is important. You know it when you have a prayer life. Say the word of God. I love the word of God. I read it all the time. Well, if you do read it all the time, that does show that you love it. But if you love God, you'll obey his word. So don't say you love God and then don't obey his word. Can I get a better amen? Are you guys okay this morning, this afternoon, 12 minutes after 12? Lift your hands to heaven and say, oh, God, help us. Boils down to one word, basically selfishness. It begins with sexual sins. Those two Greek words that I mentioned, active homosexuality, passive homosexuality. It's passive homosexuality, active homosexuality in order. It's all forms of homosexuality, adultery, fornication. He goes on to list other things. You know, a number of years ago, my daughter was in school. And she graduated from college. In her first year, she came home. I'll never forget that meeting when she came home. She was disappointed. I mean, deeply disappointed that there was no men. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, nearly all the men there are not. They're all effeminate. There's no masculine men in the school. And then when we would visit, now, I know I'm making a blanket statement. Of course there is. There was at least Derek Johnson, who she married. But she came home that first year, and she says, they're all scared of bugs and spiders. And she goes, I want a man, Dad. I'm like, all right, well, we can be. She says, it gave me the greatest compliment I've ever gotten. She said, Dad, I want a man like you. I'm like, this way. Ah, yeah. What I found, and I'm not heaping judgment on them, but what I found is that masculinity is imparted. And the reason my son is such a strapping man of God is, of course, because of his mother, but it's also because of me. When I took him by the hand, Hank, and I don't let him shake my hand like a stinking fish. It's like, no, that's not how you do that. And I'm not that hard, just a little less. Eye contact. You look at people, someone in the eye, you're a man. Huh? I'm a man. All right, you need to control your passions. You need to control your emotions. I shared these things with them. Hey, we have little sayings in the Bracken family. Brackens preach the gospel. That's the saying we had. What do Brackens do? They preach the gospel. What's your last name? Bracken. Guess what you do? That's right. Brackens preach the gospel. Man of God needs to control his emotions. Man of God needs to control his emotions. Everybody say that. Man of God needs to control his emotions. Not blown to and fro. I'm raising world changers. I have raised them. I'm going to continue to raise them. Who are you raising? And I've found that these young men in universities and across the land, they're many times weak. And it's not even their own fault. But now that they're men, come on. They need to learn and grow and change. I understand personalities, and some are softer and some are strong. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the feminine. It's almost like, it's not almost like it is. The spirit of Jezebel has been released on our nation to emasculate men and to undermine what women are and confuse all the genders and jack. I'm telling you, I'm not going to stand for it. There's a great move of God coming. There's a great move of God coming. It's coming through you. Come on, somebody shout to God. I know, a little intense, but it's an intense time. He lists other sins and thieves, greedy, drunkards, swindlers, non-tithers. I'm messing with you. Although I do think that is a thief. You telling me I go to hell if you don't tithe? No, I'm not telling you that. But he is saying it here. Is it possible? I guess. I'm just not going to go and stand on that and say, if you don't tithe, you go to hell. I'm not saying that. But it is stealing. I didn't tithe for years. Not recently, because I wasn't convinced. I thought, no, I need the money. The Lord knows I need it. But once I became convinced in scripture and I found out, Lord, I need to do that. I need to do that. Then I started. I didn't like it. God loves a cheerful giver. Yes, he does. He does. And I guess he wasn't liking. I was not very cheerful, but I changed. Pastor Karen, on the other hand, oh, yeah, let's just give 10% and give everything away. I'm like, what? We were dating. All right. And he gives great hope. And that's what some of you were. All right, Pastor, how does this help us to understand where we're at and how to bring the remedy to our great nation? Well, understanding and applying these two texts brings a remedy that we need. It brings a remedy that we need. We need help. We need help on the southern border. We need help all over America, and it starts with our homes. It helps us to understand what it means to turn from wicked ways. Number one, sexual sin, I think. Sexual sin is the number one sin in America. The number one sin is sexual sin in our nation. I believe that. I had somebody else say, no, it's mammon, the worship of mammon. I think that could be argued well. But everything is sold with sex. By the way, I'm going to go there right now. So Children's Church is on the other side of the building. I'll be as gracious and as I can. It's important to hear this. Our nation, the tragedy of our nation is that we've moved away from God's plan for sex. We've moved away from his plan for sex. Now it's this recreational thing. And that is not how it was intended. The sexual intercourse is to be between a man and a woman under the covenant of marriage, under the covenant of forever till death do us part. You're so significant, so special that act should take place under the context of forever. And in actual fact, it should happen with one person, the only person, when you're married for the rest of your life, and should be when you're married a virgin. Teach your kids that. You say, well, that's impossible in this day. No, you need to raise your faith level. You say, well, that's not the way it was for me. I understand what you're saying. God can restore your virginity. Let me say that to you. How about that? He can heal you of anything. He can restore your innocence. Sex is for three reasons. I'll quickly move through this because I can see you're uncomfortable. Number one, it's for children. This is God's plan for sex. Number one, it's for children, procreation. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Number two, come on, it's for kids, producing kids. I'm going to have a grandchild. Hallelujah. I pray they have like 15 kids. Hallelujah. Oh, I want a lot of grandkids. Amen. Did you hear that, Minister Daniel? All right. Just put that in your spirit for when the time is right, which is not now. Amen. Children. Number two, oneness. Everybody say oneness. The Bible talks about the sexual sin is the only sin that takes place on the inside of your spirit. Now, it takes place on the inside of your spirit, whether it's sin or not sin. So under the covenant of marriage, oneness between a man and a woman, it is one of the most powerful spiritual acts of warfare. Husbands are perking up. They're like, dude, I wasn't into that warfare thing now, but look, what is he saying right now? Oneness is powerful. It should never be used to withhold from your spouse. Don't use it to manipulate. It's sacred. It's holy. I believe you should pray before, during, after. It's a beautiful thing. It's orchestrated by God. The third thing is for pleasure. But you can make it an idol. But can you imagine if it was torture? All right. What? Oh, come on. Now, can we wait? The biblical reasons for sex, children, oneness, pleasure. He said, well, what if I was with other people? Well, undoubtedly, that's the case for many because we've lived in a polluted culture. But don't teach your kids that way. It's the most sacred gift they can give their spouse after they get married. It's a beautiful thing. And if you've blown it or they've blown it, then they can be healed and they can be restored. Can you say amen? Do you know that schizophrenics, they found this in psychology, psychologists have found that schizophrenics many times have been with many, many, many people. A schizophrenic is multiple personalities and personality fracturing. So if you've been with many, many, many people, there can be a lot of people on the inside of you. I'm not just going to say it simply that way. So what do I do about it? You can renounce it. You repent. You renounce it. You sever those ties. You break the. There's a real thing of soul ties. I feel the Holy Ghost just giving me a shove, so I'm going to go ahead and take it. Some of you might be here, and you have remembrances that you hold in your mind of idols, of your past boyfriend or your past girlfriend, and it's in your mind, even though now you're married. You can be set free from that thing. It is God's will for you to set you free from that bondage, that fantasy you have in your head. It'll affect your marriage. We ought to move on. You guys are starting to look like squeezed lemons or something. Lift your hands to Jesus and say, God, help me. God, help us. Come on, God, help us. God, help our nation. It's recreational now. We have a fallen human nature. All of us have to deal with greed. All of us have to deal with lust. All of us have to deal with pride. All of us have to. And if you say, no, I don't need, I'm over that. Yeah, make sure. Keep yourself over it in Jesus' name. Our culture is so enamored by sex, and it's the very thing that caused the nations of Canaan to be removed. And I'll tell you, it's the very thing that needs to be turned around in our country. Can you say amen? Look at three. We've given sexual sin civil rights and are attempting to redefine marriage as a result. Reparative therapy in California has been canceled. If you struggle with same-sex attraction in California, you cannot go to get help for that. And if somebody practices therapy, delivering people from same-sex attraction, they're going to be sued, potentially put in jail, lose their license. In California, you can't do it. And then there's hate crime laws that are going everywhere. Homosexuality, Politics of Truth, for all of you note takers, Dr. Satinover wrote it. It was written years ago. It's got like a 1970s sort of cover on it. Might be out of print, but you can find it, I bet, on Amazon. Homosexuality, Politics of Truth. And go look at how government got behind, big money got behind it and drove it. Never before, it was like the purpose of the state is to produce this defiled thing. It's demonic to destroy our culture. Every single culture, listen to me, in the history of the world that endorsed homosexuality no longer exists. Go look at the Roman Empire. They don't exist. I'm not saying that people are evil. I am saying they're demonized and they're broken and they need to be set free. And if you are here, I'm not going to joke with you. If you're here and you struggle with same-sex attraction, we can help you. And you can get set free from that. You do not have to be addicted to that. You do not have to be bound by pornography. You don't have to be bound by drugs. It's a choice. The power of God can set you free. And they're giving civil rights to sexual preference, which is wicked. I used this beautiful couple in my first service. Pastor Vince, Minister Ava, would you stand and come over here, if you would, kindly? These guys are the salt of the earth. We love you so much. Pastor Vince and I used to do a lot of visitation together, and we started discovering we would roll up in a white church van and get out. We've had people go, get out! Go away! They're just, they don't know what to think, me and him coming to their house. They're like, did you have a choice of what color when you were born?
No.
And what color are you?
Black.
How about you, Pastor Vince?
I'm in agreement with her. I'm black too.
They are born this way, and now I'm not a geneticist, obviously, but if we took blood samples, they could see that your lineage is black.
Yeah.
Right? Huh? Might see some white in there too, or different nationalities. Right? Am I right? Yes. That's not a choice that they had. They were born to their beautiful families.
Amen.
And that God, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You're not born gay. There is no gay gene. There is... So here's the problem. If you give that a civil right, now that's civil rights. Prejudice. And I've been the recipient of being a prejudice, and because I was white, I've experienced that. It was painful and difficult, and it sure opened up my eyes to a lot of things. Civil rights, sexual sin, giving sexual sin civil rights, and attempting to redefine marriage and genders is wicked. Look at 4. If our nation continues along this path, we will lose our freedoms. Now, some of you think I just bounced into like total hyperbole. How could you even be saying that? Because that is history. Christianity in the first century was protected under Roman law. And it was protected because Christianity was seen, there was emperor worship and Jews. Jews was a legalized religion. Go look at the history of the church. So there's emperor worship, and then there's the Jews. There were these unusual people that is one true God and the one living God. And then the Christians came, and they were considered, Christians were considered a sect of Judaism. So Christians were legal underneath the umbrella of Judaism. However, that all changed in 64 AD when Nero decided to torch a part of the city of Rome, and His mistress, Pompey, said, you know what? You need to blame this on the Christians because we're in trouble. Everybody got upset because they torched their houses. Simplified ancient history here. And so they blamed the Christians. And from that time till 313 in the Edict of Milan, being Christians was illegal. And great persecution came upon the church. Emperors like Domitian and different ones. I mean, wicked, wicked. That's when they were put into the Colosseum and they were thrown into lion's den. For all those years, they were persecuted until the Edict of Milan. And at the Edict of Milan, Constantine, whose mother, Helena, had given her heart to Christ, she got born again. Constantine, affected by the influence of his mother, changed the center of the Roman Empire, moved it to Constantinople or to, modern-day Turkey or Istanbul, and made Christianity legal and every other religion illegal. And what ended up then happening is people left all their pagan religions and said they were Christians and brought all their idolatry into the church. And you can see that in some of the Catholic fetishes and all the different coming worshiping bones and some of the craziness that happened. What can happen is this. If the United States and other nations, has already happened in other nations, says that sexual sin is a civil right, and I then preach against it, which I will every Sunday if I want to, then I am then labeled someone who's a racist, and it's a hate crime, and then they can come and actually bring pastors and take property, and we are just on the edge of that. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand church history. But if you're coming here to this church, I'm going to make sure you understand it. Because you need to vote. We need to take a stand. I mean, I think about when the Anne Frank story and different ones, the Jews that would hide and they would hear them taking their neighbor. And I forget which beautiful writer said this. If we as the Jews had risen up all together, we could have stopped it. But we were afraid of speaking up because we would get hurt. We're already hurt. It's time to speak up. People don't like you. Who really cares? You're going to stand before the living God. Oh, my goodness. Lift your hands to heaven. It's an intense pastoral message because we need an awakening. We really do. We must all repent. Somebody said, I don't need to repent. I'm not struggling with that. Okay. There is a repentance unto conversion where you believe in Jesus that he died on a cross and rose again from the grave. Can I have keys, please? You get born again. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a moment. But then there's an ongoing lifestyle of repentance. I do believe in identificational repentance. You'll see that in Nehemiah. See it different places. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Jesus identified with our sin. He was crucified for you so that you don't have to die and go to a devil's hell, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be redeemed, so that you could be cleansed, so that you could be washed. We all need to repent. It's a lifestyle. The Greek word is to... it's metanoia is how you pronounce it, changing a mind or a transformative change of the heart. Matthew 4 and verse 17, Jesus began his ministry with a call to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what our nation needs to do. There's a great turnaround that's happening. I believe it's happening here today. And I believe our nation can turn towards God. You say, well, I'm not really doing anything wrong. Okay, well, what about that Harlequin romance novel, ma'am, that you're fantasizing about Bill, who comes in, his long blonde hair was blowing, and he came in, he's wearing a deep V-neck, and you could see his muscles rippling. Yeah, that. And then you think, why can't my husband be like that? Oh, don't look at me like that. Or you watch Days of the Idiots, or whatever that is. Let's have a praise break. Come on. Days of the Idiots. Days of our lives. Yeah, the days of somebody else's life. And then you fascinate about how she could be or how he could be. And yeah, you've got an idol. You got to get rid of that. You got to drive fascination from your mind. You got to, come on, join in covenant relationship with God and be healed. You got to take your mind, every thought captive and make it obedient. And the key to the healing of America is the church. If my people, it's written to Israel, of course, but it's applicable to us as well. If my people who are called by my name, the healing of America is going to come, not because of who gets voted in on the next election, but it is important. And I do believe you have a right, not only a right as a citizen, but I think you have a moral obligation before God. And if you don't vote, you should never say one thing ever on Facebook, social media, because you didn't vote. So just shut your trap and keep your thoughts to yourself. Or take a stand and vote and believe God, make a difference. Pretty intense this morning. The key to healing America is the church. It's true. It's true historically. The French Revolution was a bloodbath because of humanitas, or man as the measure of things. They guillotined a whole class of people because those people didn't think or believe like they did. Reason was their God. The reason the American Revolution was not a bloodbath was because of the great awakenings that took place. Different ones like George Whitefield, different people that preached and teach. I believe there's another great awakening. I believe that the church is coming alive. I believe that God is raising up a company of people who will not shrink back, who won't shrink back into destruction, who will stand, and having done all else to stand, they'll continue to stand. I believe that God is calling an army of intercessors, calling a group of people to declare the word, preach the word, live the word, share the word. I believe that God is going to set his church on fire. He's going to do it from the young to the old. I believe that God is bringing a great outpouring even here in Alaska. I believe now, if we don't see it happen now, when's it gonna happen? When are we gonna see it? You say, well, somebody else is gonna come. No, you are the somebody else. We can see an awakening. Put a thunderous hand clap together for God. Won't you do it? Come on. We gotta let our light shine. If you're ashamed of the gospel, well, Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you. If you deny me, I will deny you. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. You will have many people that will hate you. Who cares? We are deeply loved and deeply hated. But it's amazing how God even makes our enemies to be at peace with us. We're not in it for a popularity context. We're living for an audience of one. And we're to be kind and gracious and compassionate to everybody that struggles. But we're also to point to say, hey, you don't have to be in bondage anymore. You can be set free. That's what some of you were. You got to let our light shine. In the elections, in your neighborhood, when you're tipping the coffee barista at restaurants, when you're driving, I'm working on that, Lord help me. We've got to humble ourselves and pray, right in the notes, wrapping it up. We got to declare and receive personally all that Jesus has purchased. That's what some of you were, verse 11. And then lastly, you must know the word, live the word, and share the word of God. And yeah, you're going to have people that don't like you. But the Lord will be blessed and pleased, and he'll reward you, and he'll release his power. So I just think we all need to live happily together. Well, that's not a biblical thing. Because if you stand for truth, you're going to have people that don't like you for it. Lift your hands to heaven.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.